Welcome to Pushing Buttons.
Good luck.
Welcome to Pushing Buttons. I'm Gerald, and Mike is always with me somewhere in the background in the darkness. Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, fuck. I was hoping to do a solo cast.
Well, you should have introduced me. If you didn't start off with and Mike's with me, I would have just stayed here silent the whole show.
Every time I say that, there's just a little bit of me that hopes that you won't answer.
That sounds pretty true for our daily life as well. I just think about you, and suddenly just a voice appears inside my head.
I'm sorry.
You should be. It doesn't give me a good start to my day. Every day, it's just waking up. Oh, so rested. Oh, fuck, Gerald.
Yeah, I'm sure it keeps all your thoughts and actions adroit.
It ruins my hopes and dreams for the day.
I'm glad I had that effect on you.
You do. You bring out my best feelings.
Ruining hopes and dreams. Yeah. Wow.
From the first day we met. Oh, well, and
let's get right to it, shall we?
Oh, sure. Let's do it. Did you play any of those games that we talked about last time?
What games? We play games on this podcast?
Well, no. We play them beforehand and talk about them. We don't play games on the show. At least I usually don't. I usually do when it's one of your episodes. I know we have different shows where usually one of us is taking the lead. Whenever it's one of your episodes, I'm usually in the back just playing games while you just rant.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was playing a game. Oh, anyway. I mean, I did play a few games over the weekend, as always, you know, just trying to get my hands on just about every game out there.
No, I know. I know there were a couple things you wanted to, you were talking about last show that you were going to be playing.
Well, I just got in my Final Fantasy, so there's really no way I can review that now. I mean, it's still in the shrink wrap next to me here.
Mm-hmm.
But I did pick up Dark Souls 2 over the weekend, and wow, it's more Dark Souls. That's all you can really say about this series. Like, they've done a few tweaks here and there, and the graphics still look pretty good in that dark fantasy setting, but ultimately, it's getting played out. You're going to the same areas almost. A lot of recycled boss fights, other weird tweaks they've done in balances, like, for instance, enemies don't respawn if you kill them 15 times. Like, in specific enemies, you can't grind souls too much, which puts a damper on trying to really make yourself badass.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that I found just why, you know, kind of, are the boss fights. When you kill a boss, you no longer regain your humanity from Hollow Mode, which was always something that was considered a free ride in the other games.
I played Dark Souls. I didn't honestly don't have much experience with it. I mean, I played it for maybe the first like hour or two.
Ultimately, it's from a company called From Software. You may remember them in the 90s. They put out those shitty Kingsfield games, the first-person RPG dungeon crawlers.
Oh, yeah. What was that that other one that I played? Something Ring?
Eternal Ring.
Eternal Ring.
That was the successor to Kingsfield. Then
one that said, not all fantasies are final on the back of the box.
Then shortly after that, they put out a real Kingsfield on PS2, oddly enough, and I think that was better, but I never got my hands on it. Well, anyways, I'm rambling here.
Oh, I loved that game.
Let's just say From Software has a long legacy of bland-ass fucking terrible games. No, I'm kidding. Not quite. Quite honestly, From Software, as usual, the camera works against you, the controls are a joke, the combat is really punishing, and mainly, you know, any mistake you make from those three factors I just mentioned, the game punishes you by either taking half your life bar or sometimes all of it in one hit.
Well, I mean, it is one of the most brutal games, like, out there, and mostly unfairly so.
Well, they added a lock-on now, where you can lock on to your enemies, which is even worse, because once you're fixated on him, much like, Zelda Ocarina of Time style, you end up walking off of a bridge or whatever you're near when you're backing up, because you can't see behind you. It's
Nice.
one of the many things, and everything else lacks consistency. It really is kind of a mess, but people like it, because when you finally beat something, whether it be a boss or just a lowly minion, you feel really great because it is kind of a workout. Any creature in the game, no matter how much you're built, can kill you if given the opportunity. That's the weird thing about this game. Even the lowly pawns that you think as you've beaten like 50 times, you think no big deal of, one or two of them in like a group, and you're fucked, usually.
Well, I mean, that was true for Dark Souls, the original Dark Souls as well. I mean, you can get your ass handed to you in the very first like hour of the game, in like the very first dungeon you're in.
Yeah, and the game constantly plays tricks on you. Like, they'll stick an enemy in the corner of the room where you come in and you don't even see him, and he'll pop out behind you and just start hitting you. They also have tons of traps. Like, sometimes you'll go up a staircase only to find that a boulder is falling down the staircase at the same time. That makes no sound.
Yeah, that's pretty
It
common.
totally flattens you. Now, when you die in the game, you lose all the souls you've collected by killing enemies, and you create a bloodstain right where you died. A lot of times this happens in boss fights, of course, because you don't expect actually coming up to a boss when it happens. So, quite honestly, those souls are pretty much gone, because every time you go to pick them up next to the boss, he will kill you again. And this goes on and on. And then when you get frustrated enough of going to the boss to pick up your souls, that you die at one of the lowly enemies, you lose them forever.
Sounds along the lines of sounds about right for one of those hardest games ever made.
Yeah, it also feels kind of unrewarding sometimes too. Not just because of the punishing difficulty, mind you, but when you level up and you constantly are reinforcing your armor and your gear, it doesn't feel like it really makes a difference against the enemies. The enemies are still very powerful. So you don't get that kind of like, oh, I found something awesome feeling from this game.
There's no real feeling of accomplishment. There's just a feeling of survival.
Yeah, I mean, you do feel accomplished when you kill the bosses a lot of the times. You feel great, but as far as getting items that are going to be make you powerful or leveling up to become u uber badass, you don't really get that feeling from this game, like that feeling of just crazy, over the top accomplishment. But ultimately, I'm addicted to it because games like that are very masochistic, that require, lots of patience. I tend to stay on those more just to figure out how best I can beat them.
Oh, they're ones you keep coming back to. One of those ones you keep coming back to because it's like you feel de it's one of those games that makes you feel defeated.
Actually, a better analogy I think I can make for it would be like it's like an old NES game like Zelda or Castlevania. It doesn't tell you anything like Zelda. It just puts you out there. And you have to discover how to unlock doors, how to find the blacksmith, how to do this, how to do that. Everything is out there, scattered in the world. And I really like that feeling again, that sense of discovery. And
Yeah,
that's what this game has.
that's
But
definitely something that's missing.
and it's also like Castlevania because it's balls hard. Like it's totally, I mean, every enemy in the game, like you said, could just ruin your day. So you can't even, just plow through like cannon fodder like you would do with most games where they have like the lowest form of creature you can destroy. It doesn't work that way in this game. Each creature can screw you up if you're not paying attention and not giving it your full attention.
Now that is something that's missing from that from games nowadays. You don't see that kind where defeating any enemy is like an accomplishment that should be you should feel like proud of.
And that's why people come back to it, I think, is that feeling of just like, wow, I defeated him. Even though he's like a low enemy, that took a lot of work, a lot of practice, a lot of timing, learning enemy patterns and stuff like that.
All right, exactly.
So
Definitely
yeah,
not enough of that. But I'm glad to hear you're liking it, at least.
Anyway, I have yelled at the TV quite a few times playing Dark Souls. I can't recommend it to everybody. It only speaks to the hardest of the hardcore.
It's frustrating to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it. If you like RPGs and you like exploration and stuff like that, you will like this game. But if you're looking for something new that's different, that's fun to play, avoid Dark Souls 2. Just avoid it. So I give it a. I mean, if we have to put a number to these things, which I don't like doing usually, but it helps for some people to hear a number.
Yeah,
Seven.
they really like to. I mean, I try not to do it myself because, I mean, it's like I go back to that BioShock when I use that, when I try to think of an example when it comes to at least the two of us. You loved BioShock. You gave it a great rating. I didn't.
I
That's
mean,
why
I.
I really hate ratings. I like to just read the actual review itself to get an idea.
I give it a 7 out of 10. I mean, it feels more like a patch to Dark Souls 1 than a full game. It feels like Left 4 Dead 2 to me in a way. Well, anyway, what did you play this
Well, I mean,
weekend?
speaking of like the difficulty, the only thing I've re I mean only thing I've really been playing new is the downloadable title off the Wii U called Unepic, which I mean everything else I've been playing is I mean, I've also been playing the Sonic Lost World, so those are my two new games for the week. Let's start off with the Sonic Lost World, and I can start that. I mean, I can start that review off, which is one simple statement. It's not as bad as reviewers made it out to be. I mean, one of the biggest issues they had, two of the biggest issues they had, one was the level design. That is just punishingly difficult. It is if you're going for like the extras in those levels, like the collectibles. If you're just playing the game just to play it, it's a lot of fun. It's very straightforward, just with multiple paths so you can try new ways of getting to your destination every time you play. So it's bad level design, I think, when it comes in terms to the collectible stuff. But if you're just playing the game straight out, it's a lot of fun. There's nothing wrong with the level design. Everything makes sense as far as it can be in this kind of game series. And the other big issue that they took up with this game was Sonic speed. So instead of just straight out speed, just as fast as he can always go, Sonic now, his main speed is just kind of a slow jog. Like he's trotting along. The right trigger will turn you into a run. So where like previously, Sonic started out with like this kind of small little start, and he had momentum. Like he gained momentum up to his full speed. This, you press the right trigger, and he goes at full speed right away. So it's either slow jog or fast run. And one of the reasons why they were doing that was because a lot of people complained that you never felt like you were really in control of Sonic when he was at his fastest speed, because he was just too fast. So they slowed him down a bit. I mean, his run speed is definitely not slow. It is slower than it was in the past. But it's he feel you actually feel like you're in control of him this time around, rather than just on a roller coaster that you're just watching. Which was a big problem with a lot of the past Sonic games. I mean, it felt more like a racing game rather than a platformer. So they wanted to put more emphasis on like the platforming, the exploration. So they built this entire game around that.
Well, it can't be any worse than his past exploits.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yes, it can. I mean, the Sonic Generations and Sonic Color are two of the, at least as far as the 3D games, the two of the best ones they've ever made. And particularly Colors. It was kind of like that return to form for Sonic. But I mean, this thing kind of, if you kind of felt like they found their design for the 3D Sonics with Colors and Generations. But so it's kind of surprising, like this quickly they kind of changed things up, like the whole boost mechanic they've had since for the last bunch of games is now completely gone. There is no boosting. Your boosting is essentially your spin dash. It's the fastest you can go, but it's not like so fast that once again you feel out of control.
I don't know if 3D is ever a good fit for Sonic. I mean, maybe 2.5D, like they've been doing with Sonic 4.
Well, I imagine if they stuck with the Sonic Colors format, that would have been a great. That was good Sonic. That was Sonic at a really good speed where you always felt in control. And so, I mean, this kind of changed that up a bit, which is kind of surprising because it's like they finally found their formula. But I mean, also as far as the level design, I mean, this thing is it's very cylindrical levels. It feels like a straight copy in a way of Mario Sunshine.
Well, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to really go too much into it because, I mean, the game's been out for a while and it's, I mean, everyone's already kind of said their piece on it. I just wanted to kind of give a word saying it's not as bad as people said. In fact, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I mean, if you just kind of, like, let go and just play the game rather than thinking you need to go after every single collectible in there, which that is very difficult, and the level design is not very good for it. If you just play the game, it's very fun. And if you play it and know how to play it and know how to use the parkour system they have in there, Sonic can move at a really good clip throughout every level. I know I really didn't do much of a good defense of that game outside of it's not that bad.
Every Sonic game starts with it's not that bad. Listen to me, please.
No, I'm telling you, you should. Yes, except when you're talking about Generations and Colors. Now this has a lot more to do with like if you ever see like the videos for Sonic. God, what was it like? Sonic. I think it was Sonic Extreme, the unreleased Saturn game. If you watch videos for that, you kind of get an idea of what this game is like. Let's move away from that because I'm not really giving a good explanation here. The other game I was playing this week was the downloadable title off the Wii U was called Unepic. This is you're playing a gamer at a tabletop game, Dungeons and Dragons style. Your character decides he needs to go to the bathroom. The guy, like the person you're playing as, when he's in the bathroom, all the lights shut off. He leaves the room to find out he's in this Castlevania-style castle. Don't know how, not sure, I'm still playing it, so probably a hallucination.
So he found the ultimate warp zone.
Apparently. I mean, this thing is very much an open castle in the way of, like, the Castlevania, the Metroidvanias, Metroid, where only so much of the castle is open at once until you get a start getting more abilities as you go through. Much like those Castlevanias, it's full of weapons for you to get out, get it, and try. One of my favorite things is, since your character's from this world, he carries around a lighter. He, as he's going around the castle, he realizes this place is pitch black. So he has to go around finding all the different torches and lamps and just start lighting them so he can actually start lighting the castle up so he can actually see what's going on around him. So a lot of that, it's one of those things that feels like you're actually another thing where you feel like you're accomplishing something because you're discovering this castle like as he is. You don't just go into a room and see that room. You have to like light up that entire area and discover like where you are.
So when you say in game, what's it like? Is it a first person perspective, a third person?
No. It's very much like the Metroidvanias. It's an open castle. It's 2D.
So it's side scrolling.
Side scrolling 2D pixel. So I mean, you run, jump, swing your sword around. You have multiple weapons you can use. Between bows and arrows, swords, axes, different enemies are susceptible to different weapons. And luckily, I mean, this game does allow you to play on the gamepad itself, where you can switch back and forth for your inventory, between your inventory screen and your the main gameplay.
Nice.
While that is nice, I don't suggest doing that. I mean, I definitely suggest playing this on the TV because while you're playing on the TV, your gamepad is not your inventory screen, but a set of 28, a set of roughly 38 buttons. And you can assign your different weapons to those buttons, your different magic to those buttons. So instead of like fumbling through your inventory trying to pick it out, you can just assign that and just click on what you want. It makes it much easier to switch around, especially when you're in a situation where you constantly have to switch back and forth from your magic, from your to your sword, to your bow and arrow, to your lance. It's much easier when you're playing on the TV. In one of the, I mean, it is very, very difficult. It's very easy to die. There are traps everywhere that you can set off, which you can avoid if you're paying attention to like where the switches are on the floor, but it is very difficult. I mean, if I have one knock against it, it is the controls do feel a bit stiff. Like it's like they feel very tight, but kind of not very forgiving when you're controlling. If that's, I mean, I know that's kind of not the best description. Think of like the original Castlevania. The controls, while they worked, they were very stiff, if you know what I mean.
Right, they felt sluggish in some way, right?
Exactly. That's exactly the word I'm looking for. So there is that. Also, while you're going around the castle, you can bring up your map. Your map is very basic. It'll show you what rooms have like a shopkeeper or the save area, but you can find like souls throughout the dungeon or different people who will give you a quest that will take you, say, to the other side of the castle. Those people are not marked on your map, so you have to go back. You have to remember either remember where they are or go find them, or buy an item that will take you right back to them. But those items are expensive. I mean, so there is a shopkeeper where you can buy like different potions, different weapons. If there's one item that's been the hugest help, biggest help, one of the first things I bought from him was it looks like a ring that if you put it in have it in your inventory, if I click on that square on my gamepad, it will take me right back to the last save room.
Oh, so it's a lot of shortcuts and stuff like that, and just basically being able to warp around the map.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's different doors you can go into that will bring you to another room that's just filled with dozens of doors, and those doors will take you to the other doors, like their corresponding door in the castle. But I mean, this one, that item will just take you directly back to the last save point that you were at. So I mean, if you're low on health, which is going to happen a lot, it's a huge help. I mean, one of the fun things about it is, as you go when you first start out, one of the first places you go, one of the first people you meet is this like ghost demon who tried to take over your body. Being not from their world, he can't take you over, but now he's stuck inside your body. So, one of the fun of the game is you and this trapped demon inside you, talking to each other. And he's intentionally, because he wants you dead so he can get out, intentionally trying to lead you down bad paths and places where you can get killed. And so a lot of the fun of the game outside of just the gameplay is listening to the dialogue between these two. Like the first shopkeeper you come across, he encourages you to kill the shopkeeper to steal all of his stuff rather than having to buy it. So of course your player character starts telling him like, okay, so you either have a grudge with this guy, or he's really strong and you know he's gonna kill me. So there's a lot of like interaction with that. There's a lot of referencing other video games since your character's supposed to be from the real world. Like when you light your first torch, you kind of mention your inner self that you hope there's no Belmonts coming around who's gonna put these things out.
Yes, the candle whipper himself.
Exactly. So there's a lot of like little references like that, which they're fine enough. I mean, so far, I mean, it's not, that I've heard, it's been nothing that's like topical, so they can at least stay relevant no matter when you're playing it.
Nice. Sounds like it was crafted with a lot of love and care for the glory days of gaming.
It definitely was, and it makes no apologies for how difficult it is. You will die a lot.
Start reminding me of the other game I just reviewed, Dark Souls. They even gave me an achievement for dying my first time.
No, wow, that's...
Yeah, it was called This is Dark Souls achievement. Once you die, pops up.
Nice.
And you will die a lot. And that's one of the games I can guarantee you, you will make some trivial mistake that will get you killed.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I mean, that's what that series is about, from the Demon Souls on.
Yep. I mean, the graphics look a little bit better this time around, but everything else seems just cut and paste as far as style is concerned, everything else. They didn't do too much refinement.
Well, at least
it
looks...
But anyway...
Well, at least it looks better.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if you've heard about this, but since we were talking about Sega, it's kind of reminded me that Phantasy Star Online 2, while being localized in English finally,
oh, thank
is
God.
Not going to be targeted for the Western market. At least they have no plans to as of yet.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Unfortunately, I want this game, but they have no plans to bring it over here.
You and I are some of the biggest supporters of the Phantasy Star, the entire series.
Especially since Universe kind of left me with a bad taste in my mouth. It's like, why the hell, you know, would Phantasy Star stoop this low to...
Yeah, the Phantasy Star Zero was a much Phantasy Star Online Zero was a much more worthy successor to Online than Universe was.
Yeah, that Universe felt like a completely different animal. Even though it was supposed to be kind of a continuation of Online, didn't feel like it.
It's the only game that I ever played that actually gave you all the, when you're playing like the Xbox version, at least it gave you all the achievements just for playing the game, not for like doing like actual achieving things.
Yeah, and Universe was kind of weird because it had a story mode to it, and then it had its usual MMO grinding fest. It was like a story mode which pretty much served for as the training to get you used to Phantasy Star Universe. Whereas
yeah,
Online had no problem making both of them into one seamless, you know, experience.
Yeah,
Universe,
I mean, you essentially
up.
Played the story, essentially like the single player, like the story mode. Everything in there was also in the online version, the online play. The only difference is the online play, you still had other quests you can do. I mean, you still played through all the same maps, all the same bosses. The exact same gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, Phantasy Star Online, when it came out for the Dreamcast, was simply amazing. I mean, wanted a sequel for so long. I mean, Japanese have been playing it since probably June or July of last year. So, when's going to be our time? That's all I want to ask. Seriously, Sega, come on.
It's never going to happen. They know that we're the only two people who want it, so it's not going to happen.
True.
You know, if it was Atlus making it, it would have been over here in a heartbeat.
Oh, Atlus.
And they at least bring over the game. They at least bring over the niche games.
Ooh, that reminds me. They are bringing out something I really, really, really want.
Uh-huh.
Tex Murphy, the Tesla Effect, which they are
putting out. I don't know that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
what game is
cool.
that?
You never heard of Tex Murphy, or...?
No.
Tex Murphy is a graphic adventure made by, I think, CD Access in the 90s. It was during the time of full motion video, you know, craze. And it was kind of like Space Quest or Police Quest, something like that, but it was a little different. I guess the best way to describe it is if you had Carmen Sandiego, right?
Yeah.
And you added something like, that's a good way to put this, kind of like half Carmen Sandiego, half Blade Runner feel
yeah.
to it. That's what this game feels like.
Okay.
Because
oh,
you're
never
able
heard
to,
about this.
you have every case that you have a computer where you can actually do like a dossier from the clues you find from interrogating people, as well as picking up items and examining them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But Tex has so much, you know, personality to him. The actor who played him, you really end up feeling for the guy. Like he's like a down-on-his-luck private detective set way in the future, you know, where cars fly instead of drive, you know. And it's just a crazy, wacky game, you know. And there's not too many of those running around anymore. They did a Kickstarter for this, not so long ago, and they made enough to fund the game, and now Atlus is publishing it.
Oh, I'm gonna have to check this out.
I think you would like it. They
It's
got
the
the
old
same
like
actors and everything.
it's the old point and click style
Well, the
games.
old games were. I don't know if this new one is going to be the same, considering it is coming out on a series of platforms.
Okay.
But it looks pretty awesome, and I can't wait. A new Tex Murphy is a good thing, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I'm gonna have to check that out. I don't know how I didn't know about this.
Yeah, I mean it's the kind of wackiness you would expect from 90s graphic adventures like Monkey Island,
Yeah.
Space Quest, stuff like that, Quest for Glory.
I love Space Quest.
It's very much like that.
All right.
And I recommend going on GOG and possibly getting some of the old ones. As a matter of fact, if you pre-order the Tesla Effect, I feel like I'm doing a commercial here. If you pre-order Tesla Effect with GOG, I think they will give you one of the Tex Murphy games for nothing.
Oh, nice.
On
Yeah,
top of
I'm definitely gonna
pre-ordering.
be going over there then.
And I think it's only like a 20 bucks to buy the game or something like that.
That seems like a lot for oddly for GOG.
Well, 20 is usually the price they put the games that are brand new, but are not, are classic in some way.
Yeah, oh, I forgot they do new games every once in a while.
Yeah, sometimes. Like, I'm glad they're hosting this one because they were very adamant about, making Tex Murphy games run on newer platforms.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool they're kind of carrying the latest one that we thought never would get made.
Yeah, that's nice.
They have a good trailer of it too on GOG, and yeah.
I mean, at least GOG, they only tend to pick up the new games that are actually like you said, worth it or are going to be a classic in their own right.
Yeah, I think this one will be. Like I said, they have the same actors, so there's no problem there with no disconnect with a different guy or anything like Thief or any of the other games
Oh,
we
I know.
played.
I'm still weirded out by that.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, I've always had a lot of fun with those, and I can't wait to play this one. I think it comes out the end of the month.
Oh, cool. No, I'm gonna check it out.
Did you check out Deception yet?
I did. I watched just watched the trailer. I did, like I've watched the trailer so many times.
Wasn't it gorgeous?
It's
Oh my
amazing.
god. Yep.
Oh my God, I honestly want the PS3 just for that game alone. I mean, I know it's not a system seller, but it is to me.
It's an awesome game. I mean, I haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time with it just yet, but I will.
So you can save that review for next week.
Yeah, I Dark Souls pissed me off so much, I got addicted and I just kept playing it. Like I didn't get to anything else because Dark Souls just had a lock on me.
Yeah, well, like we said, Dark Souls is one of those games where you keep saying to yourself, "This game will not beat me."
Yeah, it's definitely one of those games where it's like, I have to beat this. It's my goal, And many times I die or they fuck me over, I'm gonna keep trying to beat this game.
I've had games where I know I was gonna give up, that I was not even gonna finish because of a certain boss that just pissed me off. But I would not let that boss itself beat me. I'll stop playing after I beat this boss. Which, very, very few games have actually beaten me. I think the last one they did was Final Fantasy 13. That game beat me.
That reminds me, I still have to return to Lightning.
Oh,
And Lightning
God, you haven't
Returns
beaten
on
that yet?
PS3. I took a hiatus.
It's easy to do.
Well, that game is only really good for the combat experience. It's got a decent combat engine, but everything else around it is just shit, so
Oh,
it's
right,
easy
of
to walk
course.
away from it.
No, I mean, if it's that easy to walk away from, you're obviously not wholly invested in the story either.
No, the story's a joke. I mean, honestly, the game spends a lot of time trying to re-explain to you who Lightning is because nobody gave a damn for like two
Yeah,
games.
exactly.
Like that's the only reason I would think they brought her back for the third game is because people forgot she was the star and what of the series at all and what that was about.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had the second. I mean, well, the first game was more like a was. Yeah, you could say she was the star. I mean, it was definitely more of an ensemble, but everyone gravitated towards her. The second game was all about Sarah, and so they had to make something at least about her in this universe.
Yeah, there's a lot of just bizarre choices. Like, for instance, making her a redeemer, having her take orders from God to fix the land before the final day, and save as many souls as possible. I mean, come on, who writes this shit?
All I can picture, which the way you describe it, is her pulling a Blues Brothers and just walking around saying, "I'm on a mission from God."
Well, she does get shades that you can put on, like
Oh,
five or
God.
six different types of shades.
That's so terrible.
Besides that, Noel's there too because he got the. No, I mean, Noel is just there because he got to kick his ass.
Exactly.
And Hope, he got the memo, so he's always in the cloud talking to God all the time and saying that God told me to tell you this.
He's on the, he talks to God through the internet, through the cloud.
Yeah, through the cloud. Yeah, exactly. I mean that's his whole purpose. Like, he's like, "Hi, I'm a plot hole. Yes, I am still a plot hole." Like every time you meet him, that's all he ever says. It's just, "Oh
His
yeah."
character name might as well just be plot device.
Basically, yeah. I'm supposed to force the narrative, and you gotta take it, bitch. It's like that's basically how my conversations with Hope go. It's like.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
But yeah, we're getting way away from the show as we always do. I don't know. It's like a trademark. I should just stop saying
You should.
that.
I think it'll be better for you.
Yeah.
Hey, there's I mean, someday I'm gonna post in some of these show notes the Gerald drinking game. When he say when he says I'm getting off topic here.
Yeah, me
Yeah,
too.
that's gonna be since you don't usually see these, since that's only a once a show usually, I'm gonna do that. That's gonna be the biggest drink.
No, better yet, every time I say that, you have to roll a d20. You drink as many times as that die comes up as.
Oh man, this is also gonna be the take a shot every time he said, "Well, let's move on," or "Well,
Yeah.
moving on."
Or Botan Kaidos. Dot hack. Resident Evil. He'll be drunk in
every
like
time you
10
bring up
seconds.
Baden Kaidos, you have to drink an entire handle of something. I
Or
think.
if Mike mentions dot hack, you have to take a shot of like the lowest grade alcohol you can find.
That sounds about right.
You're thinking about doing this. I know you are.
I really am. I think the I think every time you say as I was saying, you have to take a you have to take a drink.
Yeah.
That's the lowest form because you say that one a lot.
Or when Mike says, "I mean something," whatever it follows that.
Yeah, whenever I start off a review, whenever I at some point in the middle of a review goes like, "Yeah, I'm not very good at describing this."
Yeah, that at that point you don't take a drink. You actually just shoot yourself in the foot. Just take a gun.
Sounds about right.
Well, anyways, we're getting off topic. Drink.
As Gerald was saying.
As I was saying. Fuck. Well, what else went on this week? Not too much, right? Except for maybe some of the April Fool's Day jokes we can cover real quick.
Oh yeah, they were yeah,
Which.
some of them were decent.
Well, there were some that actually, came with an apology the next day.
Yeah, the one from EA over because of that Frostbite engine joke.
Against the Wii U and how the Wii U is the best platform ever.
Yeah, and oh, who was it? It was Dice who said that. They figured out their something called like zero latency.
Oh yeah, it was hilarious, but it was a technically it was a bad joke.
Yeah, technically, usually those things are kind of directed at other things, not actual flat-out insults towards the other consoles. So yeah, EA came out and apologized for that later.
Well, they had to. That was a nightmare. I mean, everyone's already pulled out from Nintendo anyway, and EA has already stated that they're not going to do anything about Nintendo. But to say that on top of it looks bad.
Exactly. It makes them look bad when they're, they may not be the worst company in the United States now, but that wasn't the best thing for them to say.
Well, they started getting huge backlash from Nintendo fans on their accounts, and they realized that maybe this joke wasn't funny.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't think it was either. I mean, I'll admit I laughed a little bit, but I know why it wasn't funny.
I mean, a lot of game companies threw out April Fool's jokes, like World of Warcraft, for instance, had a fake patch notes that came out for all the character classes with all these ridiculous like abilities and statements. Kind of funny. And Diablo 3 had the Happy Reaper, which was like a Flappy Bird clone, but with the Reaper face.
Wasn't it Guild Warriors, I think, did bobbleheads?
Yeah, so everyone really got into the spirit this year.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
There was even a funny one about Judge Dredd out there where they said Stallone confirmed for a sequel
Oh,
to
really?
his 90s Judge Dredd, and then like April Fools.
Oh,
Yeah,
God.
then when you click on the link, it just says April Fools. Like as if that would never happen ever again. There was even a fake quote by Carl Urban, the new Dredd, saying that this was like the best portrayal of Dredd ever with Stallone's 95 Dredd.
Oh man, no, that was good. Now, was this an actual April Fool's Day joke about Titanfall getting Optimus Prime?
I didn't hear about that one actually,
Really?
and I play Titanfall all the time, but I did not hear about that joke.
Yeah, there was a story about Titanfall getting Optimus Prime. I honestly don't know if that was a joke or not, so I'm kind of curious to I'll let you check that one out later.
Yeah, I'm still playing Titanfall.
I know
I
you are.
find every match feels different to me. I love it. It's unlike Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's always nice.
But the matchmaking is still poor. I mean, there's a lot of matches where, I'll completely dominate, no challenge whatsoever. And
Yeah.
then there are a lot of matches where my entire team, not necessarily me, but most of my team will get crushed and then they'll start leaving the game.
Oh.
That happened to me the other night. Like, it was like 6-on-3, and I just hid at that point because
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck it. They have Titans all over the place. They have three extra people
Well, man, at
because
that point,
three
there's not
people
much
quit
else,
on
not much
me.
else you can do.
Yeah, it's like, if I walk out there, I just get slaughtered. Maybe I take one guy down and they just keep pummeling me after that. It's
Yeah.
like, what's the point? I mean, you really can't turn around too much when your team is really lagging. So, like I said, the matchmaking needs to improve a little bit.
Yeah.
I've been in games where people are prestiged 5 or 6 times on the enemy team, and it's like, and none of my people on my team have prestiged.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're working on it. They have a beta like matchmaking thing in place, but every time I go on, I find that nobody uses it. So,
No, that's annoying.
or it just keeps coming up with no matches. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Then I go back into the regular mode only to deal with it again.
Yeah.
Still fun game, great game. Still holding my interest.
Well, that's good. I know how short your attention span is.
Oh, fuck it. Forget it, man. Yeah. It's horrible. I'll be the first one to admit it.
Know. I mean, how many times do we start playing a game and you give up 10 minutes in?
That's because you're no good at first-person shooters.
That's also true. Which is why by the end of the night we're usually playing Uno.
Yeah, which is, oh, press the A button. Oh, press it again. You're a
This time
winner.
I gotta hit the Y. It's just like your review of Diablo 3. Sometimes I double click.
Sometimes I don't. Yeah, true. You fucker.
Hey, you're the one who said it.
Speaking of Diablo, Reaper of Souls is great, by the way, in case anyone's on the fence about
Oh,
it.
good.
Definitely check it out. Act Vibe is awesome. Adventure Mode is awesome. Well, anyway, I think it's getting to be about that time to wrap this show up,
I
unless
think
you have
that.
something else to add.
No, I think I went through everything here myself that I had to talk about.
Yeah, I have to check out that on Epic. Is that a Nintendo exclusive or is that a something I could
I
pick up on
think
PC?
it's on PC as well. I'm actually I think that's on PC too. It may be on other systems as well. I know I only came across it one day when I was just kind of like hanging out playing the like going through the Wii U shop. Let me see here. It is on the it is on the it is on PC.
Okay, cool. I'll check it out later.
Yeah, I mean it's punishingly difficult. It makes no apologies for it, but it is a whole lot of fun.
Speaking of something that's punishingly difficult, what movie did you watch last
Oh
night?
God, I knew we were gonna bring this up at some point. So let's say that the show's far from over. So for anyone who doesn't know, I mean I like a lot of people around our ages here, our early to mid-30s, we grew up watching Mystery Science Theater, and since then those three people, the main people of Mystery Science Theater, at least the second half of this the series, moved on to Riff Tracks, where they now publish audio commentaries for current and older movies. And they most recently did the Super Mario Brothers movie. And downloaded it, bought it and downloaded it. And last night, me and my girlfriend, we sat down and watched it. And it, I mean, normally these guys are like spot on with their riffs, but this was just painful. There was nothing funny within it.
I caught the preview track of it, the other day, and I was watching the preview trailer, and I'm like, wow, they really don't have much to say about this. It
It,
just.
no, I mean, I think they did the best they could, and that's really all you can say.
It speaks for itself. Every scene is just so badly done. Like,
Yeah.
I actually got sick from just watching the little preview.
Yeah, it's truly awful. I mean, like I said, they did the best they could, and it's really not on them. It's just some movies are so bad they're hilarious. Some movies are just so bad they're bad.
And that's what this movie definitely is. I mean, I saw it the worst way you could see it in the theater in 1993, and I
Exactly.
came back really disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing good about it.
I mean, there's just throughout the entire movie, you're wondering when it's actually going to reference something that you might know from the game. And when it does do so, it's always something completely different. Like, for instance, the thwomp blocks from Super Mario Brothers are now power boots that
Yeah.
make you fly.
The Big Bertha, the giant fish from Mario 3, is now this really large woman. And
Yeah.
Bowser is now Dennis Hopper, but they only call him Koopa. He's not King of the Koopas anymore. His name is
He's
just
just
Koopa.
Koopa. Yeah, he's just Koopa, and he's not.
Koopa's not a threatening name. Bowser, a little more threatening.
He was always known as Bowser, so when we got to the movie and he was called Koopa, we were just like, what?
Yeah.
No, the Koopas are the regular, turtle enemies. They're not him.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean they did what they could, and that's all you can really say.
Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, I was gonna join you in watching that last night, but I couldn't do it. I got flashbacks, horrible flashbacks. Of this movie, and wow, no.
I don't recommend it. Even for them, and they are usually spot on, I don't recommend it.
So, I mean, everyone's probably thinking this. Let me just ask you, is she still your girlfriend after Mario?
Oh yeah,
After
absolutely.
putting her through that pain?
I don't know why, but yeah, she still is. And she's a big, and honestly, she's a big of a fan as the Rift stuff as I am.
Yeah, it seemed like even in the previews they were scrambling for something to say about it because it's just so terrible.
Well, I mean, they
And
recently did a the other day did a Q&A on Reddit, and even they said in the Q&A this was the hardest movie they've ever done.
yeah, it seemed like they were just struggling through some of it.
Oh, hey, I a little off talk our topic back to the previous topic about Unepic. That is also on it's on Steam and GOG.
Oh, cool. I might pick it up on GOG later.
Yeah, I prefer if it's something I can buy on there, I prefer to give them my support.
Oh, yeah, because they're against DRM, which is always awesome.
Exactly. And they also have a trailer on there for it you can check out, which would pretty give you a
Oh,
pretty
cool.
good idea, which I'll also link to in the show notes.
All right, well, I think we ought to just wrap this up. So, folks, we're glad you're able to catch another wonderful episode of Pushing Buttons, as always.
Yep. So yeah, you'll find everything every topic we went through down here in the show notes, and until next week. How about something cheesy like Game On?
I'm gonna let you just sit with that.
I am so sorry.
Batman suicide.